Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
Be it the sell-off in fixed income markets or the continued questions about whether or not equity valuations are too high, markets and various asset classes seem to be more and more transfixed on the sudden rise in U.S. bond yields. That seems to have affected or altered the outlook for some markets and for some investors, not just here in the region, but across the world. And of course, the ASEAN space also very sensitive to some of these yield movements. What will this actually mean for Southeast Asian markets? Well, today on Across the ASEAN, we're joined by Mr. James Chiu. He's the CIO for Southeast Asia at HSBC Private Banking and Wealth Management. He joins us today to share with us his thoughts and what he made of this recent run-up in U.S. 10-year yields that seems to be dictating the cadence and the direction of where various markets are heading. James, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health and safe during these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. Happy Wednesday.
So thank you to be here.
So, James, let's first talk about what's driving these rising yields. These rising yields seem to be coming on the back of these inflationary pressures that have bond investors somewhat shook. Now, the U.S. thinks that inflation there will be short-lived, if ever. But can the same be said for Southeast Asia? And is higher inflation something that emerging markets in this region can actually tolerate if it does come to pass?
Well, I think to take a step back, the rising bond yields that we see in the United States is a reflection of rising inflation expectation, and a lot has to do with the improving economic outlook. And of course, in terms of this rising inflation, you can expect it in the next few months or so, but it's a lot driven by short-term factors such as supply chain bottlenecks and food shortages. But I think if you look further out, it's likely that inflation will peak out in second quarter and start to normalize in Q3 and Q4 this year. If we look at Southeast Asia, the fact of the matter is that inflation is still very low in Southeast Asia. And inflation is not really an issue yet. And therefore, the priority of policymakers in ASEAN is really to ensure that the economy recovers on a strong footing post-COVID-19. So therefore, I think as the recovery is still fragile and uneven across the region, it's very likely that policy in terms of tightening of policy is not yet on the cards for Southeast Asia across the countries.
The steepening yield curve, though, James, it has many across global markets questioning equity valuations after the rapid gains in the second half of 2020. But in the case of emerging ASEAN markets, there are some question marks about ASEAN bonds, especially in the emerging markets. A lot of them have been hailed for their yield differentials over the U.S. But could these yield differentials thus also start to close? And could the appeal, at least, of Southeast Asian bonds, in your opinion, also weaken?
Well, I think if you think that inflation is going to pick up and start to normalize, it means that the rise in bond yields, especially in the United States, would start to slowly normalize in the weeks and months ahead. But I think the real issue is about real yields, which is real yields is the difference between nominal yields and inflation expectation, which is actually currently extremely depressed. And if you compare that back in taper tantrum in 2013 and now, real yields are actually at that time increasing in the United States. And therefore, at that time, we saw a sell-off in emerging market bonds. This time round, because real yields are still extremely depressed, it's very unlikely that we will see that sort of EM bond sell-off like what we saw back in taper tantrum. And therefore, I think because of that, that this volatility that we're seeing right now actually creates quite interesting opportunities in ASEAN, especially we think that Indonesian hard currency bonds can actually benefit and provide that sort of carry for investors in the weeks and months ahead.
Taking that one step further, James, I mean, it seems that the Fed has said that they will keep rates lower for longer. They don't think any policy action is merited. But can the same be said for central banks in the ASEAN space? Do you think any central bank in particular might be under more pressure to perhaps to hike rates to maybe overcome these negative rates or perhaps to head off higher inflation at the pass? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the recovery in ASEAN is still extremely uneven, and for some countries, it can be still fragile. And I think the key thing is to ensure that economic recovery remains much more entrenched. So I think for this year, most central banks in ASEAN would definitely keep policy where it is. And I think it's very unlikely that any central bank would actually increase interest rates this year, given that we've seen fairly strong fiscal stimulus from many ASEAN countries last year going into this year. So I don't think there there would be a conflict of policy between the monetary and fiscal side of things. And I think, therefore, going into the weeks and months ahead, at least for this year, monetary policy in ASEAN is still going to be extremely easy.
We're listening to Mr. James Cho, the CIO, Chief Investment Officer for Southeast Asia at HSBC Private Banking and Wealth Management here on Across the ASEAN. Now, James, you did talk about emerging market bonds here in the ASEAN space. You talked about Indonesian hard currency bonds, but I do want to get your take on the forex markets. With trades and yields moving in more pronounced fashion, which ASEAN currency, based on what you're seeing, might be actually worth tracking for investors, either for better or for worse?
Well, I think the dollar has been fairly strong since late February and into early March on the back of really a very strong U.S. growth, largely to do with the huge fiscal stimulus. And therefore, as a result, ASEAN currencies have been facing that sort of headwinds. But I think going into the months ahead and of course, into the second half of this year, there could be some recovery in the ASEAN currencies, a little bit of strength, but not much. So I think from that perspective, there could be a bit of a recovery for some of the ASEAN currencies, particularly if you think of the economic recovery. Singapore will likely be one of the countries that will emerge and recover stronger. So you could expect a little bit of a dollar strength going into the second half of this year compared to the other currencies in ASEAN.
All right, so some upside perhaps for the Sing dollar specifically. Now, James, I do want to shift our focus now to equities, especially because earnings season seems to have wrapped up for the most part in the region. How focused were you? How intently were you watching earnings across the ASEAN this this particular season? And do you think there was any particular market in Southeast Asia that stood out or even surprised you?
Well, I think generally the outlook for ASEAN is extremely strong this year. Consensus expect earnings to grow by about 30% in ASEAN, in Asia particularly. And I think one of the countries in ASEAN that we think has the strongest growth potential is actually Singapore. And it's really driven largely by some of the big companies in real estate and banks within the Singapore stock market. And of course, this is something to do with the economic cyclical recovery that is happening, but also with the steepening of the yield curve. Banks would actually benefit in terms of their profit margins. And therefore, I think in such an environment, we continue to be overweight in the Singapore equity market, which has performed very well this year. And we think that this is a place where investors can be invested in the ASEAN region as of now.
What about property stocks, though, James? We think about the cyclical recovery. We think about these cyclical stocks and property stocks among them also. But rising rates, at least, not something that is viewed as very in a very friendly fashion by property developers. Do you think that this is a headwind that property stocks across the ASEAN need to be worried about? Or do you think that the property investors at least can be a little can at least sleep at night, at least those who hold stocks in some of these developers?
Well, I think for property or real estate stocks in ASEAN, it really depends on the region, on the countries and provinces that they operate in. And of course, a lot has to do with regulation as well. So in certain parts of Southeast Asia, such as Indonesia, there is easing of policy measures, while there in other parts of ASEAN, there is some controls that's still in place. But generally speaking, I think if interest rates were to increase and if in a rising rate environment, it is a headwind for real estate stocks. But bear in mind that if you think that bond yields will stabilize from here and perhaps even start to normalize and go a little bit lower, there could be selective opportunities in real estate developers.
James, one thing we also noticed since the start of the year is the pickup in retail investing, perhaps partly driven by the Reddit retail frenzy. But this apparently has also seen retail investing in Southeast Asia also picking up in terms of activity, and also certain pockets of perhaps speculative investing that also has risen in recent times. We take a look at Bursa Bets, for instance, in Malaysia, driving some of the recent bets in Kuala Lumpur, just as an example. Overall, though, I do want to get your thoughts. Is the pickup in retail investing and perhaps also the a slightly higher speculative activity for investors in Southeast Asia, do you think this is actually a good thing?
Well, I think this phenomenon is not unique to Southeast Asia. As you mentioned, it's a global phenomenon in which retail investors, particularly the younger generation, are much more interested in financial investing and financial markets. And I think the participation does have a positive element to it. It does increase the depth and breadth of the market, creating more diversity in the investor base. But also having said that, I think it also reflects, particularly in ASEAN, the opportunities and the growth opportunities of ASEAN over the long term, in which there is, as investors believe, that a lot of the ASEAN companies will capture the rising middle class, strong demographics, rising income, and the urbanization trend that will occur in ASEAN in the years ahead.
And very quickly, James, since we have you here, I do want to ask you about which Southeast Asian country or economy, which one might stand to benefit the most if this global economic recovery continues unabated, and especially if hopes of a post-pandemic recovery remain fairly intact. Across the ASEAN space, who do you think might stand to benefit the most from an economic bounce back?
Well, I think Singapore would be one. I think definitely because we are the most plugged into the world economy. And of course, if tourism and, of course, travel bubble starts to establish itself in the second half of this year, I think Singapore will be one economy that can actually benefit from it as the recovery broadens out, not just domestically, not just within the manufacturing side of things, but also into services, into tourism, into aviation. So fingers crossed, hopefully we get that recovery and that improvement in terms of the COVID situation.
I'd like to thank Mr. James Chiu, the CIO or Chief Investment Officer for Southeast Asia at HSBC Private Banking and Wealth Management. Thank you for joining us today on Across the ASEAN. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times. And we look forward to next time you can join us on the show. Meanwhile, happy hump day, sir, and have a great afternoon ahead.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.